Rise and Shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Here's a new artist of the day that we've never done.
Amy, what you wanna do?
Have you heard of this song, Finner?
I think I could stay with you for a while.
Give me some volume, Jay.
If I do.
You don't seem very impressed, I'll say that.
Don't you think time is right?
You turned your mic on to nod your head. Pinder reaches over, turns his mic on, and then gives us meh, kind of a head tilt. Don't know if that was audible on the radio. And then turned his mic on. What we are listening to, look at that! Congrats to the texter. If I had anything to give you, I'd give it, but I don't, so I won't. This is Pure Prairie League. This is their biggest hit. I think this is their biggest hit. Amy. Kind of a country, bluegrass, pop, crossover thing. That's it? Nothing? Like nothing?
I don't know. I'm not particularly moved. I'm not offended. It's not awful. It's not great. It's
pretty good, then.
It's fine. I'm fine with it. It's more that I'm used to something worse, but it's fine.
Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you.
This was a top 30 hit back in 1975.
Well, you got to be good in 75 to get to that top 30.
One name you might recognize in 1978, Vince Gill joined Pure Prairie League and then went on to a very solo successful career. Solo career.
Yeah.
Good morning, 705. I think that has us all in a good frame of mind. Nice, easy way to start into our Thursday. Want to talk about the Calgary Flames. Mentioned some news, sort of, kind of. It's
news.
We're not going to alert 660 News by any means, but we had wondered. The Calgary Flames, late June, NHL draft, Florida. Trade two picks, move up to the number 60 spot, last pick of the second round to draft Oliver Shillington, Swedish defenseman.
Second last pick, because they
have
a compensatory pick for the loss of them.
Yes,
very much so.
They draft Oliver Shillington. He is a Swedish defenseman. A year prior, would have was considered to be a first-round prospect. Obviously fell in the eyes of many. Flames said, that's far enough. Regardless, He's worth a second round, a late second round pick. They get him, and we find out shortly after, as you start doing the homework on the kid, that he has a commitment to his Swedish team, AIK.
Which is a second division team. It's not a major power, but it's a name that people know around the hockey world.
Yeah. So basically, we got to find out what's up with AIK. They have first dibs. If they want him back, and I'm kind of paraphrasing Brad for a living.
All right.
If they want him back, he's got to go there because they've got first dibs. If they're willing to release him, essentially, then we've got decisions to make. Maybe he makes the Flames. Barring that, we can put him directly into Stockton. of the AHL. It's a Canadian CHL kids. You don't have that opportunity.
As a 19-year-old, you got to go back to the Canadian Hockey League if you were drafted out of the Canadian Hockey League.
Even as an 18, right?
Of course as an 18. Yeah, you can't go until you're 20.
The first 2 years, you got to go back. So a bit of a loop, not even a loophole, it's just the way it is. Or you can, or he can go to junior. The rights were selected by the Brandon Wheat Kings in the recent Euro draft. So, yesterday, according to a Swedish newspaper website of some sort, AIK says the Oliver Shillington, we're not going to stand in the way. Now I'm paraphrasing a Swedish newspaper. They're not going to stand. We're not going to stand in the way of Oliver and his pursuits of hockey in North America. We wish him whatever's the best.
He's got prior commitments, folks.
Which is, it's big of them. But at the same time, like you say, it's a second division team in Sweden. This guy's 18. I don't know how key to any success he was going to be for them. But nonetheless, I'm sure maybe there was some influence there. I don't know. They say, go and have a successful career. So now the Flames have some options. They'll bring him to rookie camp. They will send him to main camp.
Can play in Penticton for sure.
Yeah.
Probably do the UFC Dinos game thing.
And if he makes the team, that's an incredible bonus. I'll say this. Not many second rounders make the NHL right out of the draft. Ryan O'Reilly did. Patrice Bergeron did.
Forward.
Yeah. Even then, it's extremely...
Not many first-round defensemen step in.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go outside the top five, I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen almost ever.
Yeah.
I think it's some people are, I think the best for his development will be in Cal. No, he's not there yet at all. If he was ready to play in the NHL this year, he would not have been around at pick 60. That's a guarantee.
Yeah.
If he's ready to step into the NHL as an 18-year-old, he's off the board in the top five because those guys just don't exist in most years. Ekblad and Orr are exceptions to the rule, right?
Did Bobby Orr go in the top five?
He was an 18-year-old defenseman.
Oh, I see. Either way, like you said, I agree with you. I'm being diplomatic. So let's assume that maybe he has a hard time cracking the NHL roster.
That's a fine assumption with me. That's the 99% of the how things usually crumble.
Maybe more. The issue is now, where do you put him? You'll want to see how he performs. How does he play in camp? How does he do in Penticton? What do you see if he comes to main camp, if they throw him into an exhibition game or a preseason game, how does he fare? I think that quite honestly, it's going to be clear that it'll be one of the latter two options. We've discussed this before, and I guess now that it is looking like it's official, I guess we can have a more matter-of-fact discussion about it. There's the Western Hockey League, the Brandon Wheat Kings, or Stockton in the American League. Yeah. Now, you've covered the AHL.
Yeah.
You're closer to it than I have ever been or will ever be. It's one of those leagues. It's men. It's probably a little bit more physical and of caliber than people give it credit for a lot of times.
Yeah, and you've got systems in place that are, these are all the coaches that NHL teams hire. This is not, we didn't have a lot of practices. It's a team with a lot of 16-year-olds. Go out and have fun, boys. There's not a lot of those.
So, and again, I've said it, and I'll go back to it again. I feel like junior is the best route for the guy. Even though he's played with men before, it seems like he's kind of been fast-tracked because of his skating and because of his skill. We know that he's the youngest player to score in a Swedish elite game. He did it at 16. But he's been playing with men and kind of maybe playing over his skis or ahead of where he should be, potentially, to this point. There would be time for him to go to the American Hockey League if he needs that. But I think 1 year of junior to be back around kids his age on that level to perhaps play and play a lot and play well. I don't know what kind of ice time he would get in Stockton. He'd be a big part of a Brandon Blue line. Wheat Kings are expected to be very strong. So I know that when you go to Stockton, it's a Flames team and you're doing Flames systems and you're under their control. But I don't feel like this is sending him to the outback if you put him in Brandon. I think it's a very well-respected franchise. And it has nothing to do with the fact that I worked in Brandon. People love bringing
No.
You know what? If it was Kelowna or the Vancouver Giants or, you know, if it was
Portland,
one of the...
Yeah.
If it was one of the high... And sorry to dump on some, but if it was one of the really respected teams in the Western Hockey, the guy'd be saying the same thing.
Probably don't want him going to Saskatoon. But you want him going to a place that's well-run, absolutely.
A place that's well-run. And I know that Brandon is that.
I get that. And you know what? I think there would certainly be a lot of positives. I think he would get a lot of minutes. He would play a lot. I don't know that he would have a top four role in the American Hockey League. And I also wonder what's to be gained playing against, a weaker level of talent than he's played in the last 2 years, essentially. Not exclusively, because a lot of these guys that come out of Sweden, they jump around. They play a couple games with the under-20 team, a couple games with the Swedish League team. Oh, now I'm in the Allsvenskan, or whatever the second division's called, and then there's the national team. So they're bouncing around. They play four different teams a year isn't uncommon to see. You're playing in different age groups. They call you up when they need a guy, whatever the case may be. But he has been playing against men. Is it going to help him? Like, if your kid's struggling in midget, do you want to send him back to Bantam? Is that how you fix him? Or is it more of a coaching and attitude thing? Because the talent's here for this kid. He's got to learn the game. So this is a teaching thing. So if you trust the teachers in Brandon and you think that's the best route, away he goes. If you like your teacher in Stockton and you want to keep a real close eye on this guy, that's the best, because every single... You get a report every day on your desk about this kid if you want one.
Are there any 18s that play in the American Hockey League?
Yeah, Europeans, essentially. Similar situations. Because of the restrictive nature of the CHL-NHL agreement, which I think is horse blank, every single thing in the hockey universe is tailored for player development except that rule. That rule says, oh, well, the CHL owners need to make money. Well, listen, if they want to go make money, they can go invest in the market. I have no sympathy for millionaires owning sports franchises that need to, quote, unquote, make money. What you want as an NHL team is your players to develop in the best place they can.
Well,
develop.
In fairness, I don't know that any kid's been ruined because he played at 19.
But there's a lot of guys that dominated the Western League, the OHL, and the Q at 18 that have to go back for something that's not challenging. They're not ready for the NHL yet. The AHL would be a perfect middle ground, and they're not allowed to if they're drafted out of the CHL. And there's people that are going to absolutely lose their mind at me, but from a developmental perspective, that's not best 100% of the time. And it's the only league in the world that has rules that hinder that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's rare where that occasion is, to be honest. I really don't see the negative in a lot of players. Because generally,
for example, like a Max Domi, and I don't know, it's probably not a perfect example because I didn't watch a lot of Max, but a guy that dominated in his draft year, if his birthday falls in the right spot, he could have two more years before he can play in the NHL. There's a big jump there. There are levels in between, and they act as if it's one or the other. There's no in-betweens here. So, I'm not saying Brandon isn't the best place for him. That might be the best. But because of my familiarity with the AHL, because you've got more teaching time, because they're now in a California division, and they're not going to play as many games as they traditionally have in the American League, that's, to me, where he needs to be better. He doesn't need to be better against kids his own age. He needs to be better against men, and he needs to be a good pro. That's what you're trying to groom him as.
Well, sure.
And if he can't fit on the depth chart there, then yes, send him to Brandon. If he's going to be an eighth guy and get put in one game on weekends and that's it, that's probably not best for him. But just to say he's having success and he's playing against kids his own age doesn't guarantee anything. There's a whole lot of guys that have success in Major Junior that are never good pros. He's already proven he can play with kids his age. That's not his challenge. I don't know what's gained.
Rephrase that.
If he goes to Brandon and has a great season, what have we learned?
Well, you've learned that there is progress.
What progress? He's come down a level.
No,
yes, he has. He's coming down from Swedish Division 2 to the Western League. That's coming down. What have you accomplished?
I could go and play in Div 2.
In Sweden?
Yes.
No, you could not. Come on.
What I'm saying is, I may get no ice time, and I may not play well, but I could play there. We don't know what Shillington did at that level. We don't know what his minutes were. We don't know if he was over his skis. We don't know if he was physically outmatched. The fact that he played there, that's fine, but it tells us nothing about who he is as a player. It really doesn't. I'm sure because of his skating, he could hang in that league. To say that he would be going back a level is only on paper. The Western Hockey League or the CHL or junior might be exactly where he needs to be. He is 18 years of age. I don't think there's anybody at 18 that is too good for junior hockey.
Okay.
Barring
you're allowed to feel that way.
You know, Connor McDavid, we've seen, there's some exceptions. But I mean, a second round pick, 18-year-old defenseman, I don't see how.
So, like, here's an example.
Because he played at that level, he's suddenly too good and way above the level of junior hockey.
Not way above. Maybe he's not. But if he's good enough to play in the A, he should be there in my mind. And he might not be. He might not be good enough. Maybe that's the best league in North America that he can hang in. And I don't know where they're at depth chart-wise in terms of AHL contract defensemen. We know you've got Kulak, Culkin, Ramage is now gone, but there's
Wotherspoon.
Wotherspoon may start there. You've got Nakladal, the Czech guy, who may be up or down. Does Ladislav Schmid play? Like, there's a lot of organizational depth issues. If you've got six slots already taken with guys that are ahead of him, he can't go there and have a lot of ice, right? But if he's good enough to be there, he should be there in my mind. If he's not good enough, send him to Brandon, let him ride a bus, hardly practice, and play 70 games.
I have a feeling it's one of those things that'll be made very clear for everybody. It'll probably be one of those things, you know what, he's got to go to the A, or not, junior is where he needs to
be. If he's knocking on the door to make this team, he's got to go to the A. I don't think he will be, and if he's well behind the names we just listed, Brandon's probably not so much the best place, but the only place for him to go. What, you going to send him to the coast? Absolutely not.
If you feel like you say, if he's fighting for a spot right down to one of the final cuts, you don't want to send him to Brandon because then take him back. I don't even know if they could. Because I know that's how it works with CHL kids. Once you send them to junior, as we saw with Sam Bennett, they can't come back until they're done.
You can do the opposite. But again, you can't leave the CHL, but you can send a guy from the American League to the CHL.
So you wouldn't want to do that to Brandon. You wouldn't want to probably do that to the kid. If you feel like, well, he's almost there, we'd like to see him a little bit this year, then you send him to the A.
So Nail Yakupov is a guy that I kind of think about in this, because he had that sensational year in, Sarnia?
Yeah.
The year that he and Galchenyuk were on the same team in their draft year. He goes one to Edmonton. He dominates. But he's just better than everyone else. He's got bad habits. He's not good in all three zones, but he's just so good offensively. He does what he wants. He gets top-line minutes. What are you going to do, sit your best player? Bad habits set in. Best for him probably would have been to go to the American Hockey League.
And you
Oilers
know what?
Rush him. He comes up.
Yeah.
Whereas he didn't have time to learn systems and be a third-line guy before being a second-line guy, before being a top-line guy. It's a huge jump. I like to see guys, and look at the best organizations. They all nurture these kids. They all make sure they spend some time in the A. And maybe that's a year down the road for Oliver. And maybe it's Brandon and then a year in Stockton or two or three. But it is a huge jump. There's a whole long, you could fill a conference room with guys that have scored 50 goals and had over 100 points in major that were awful American Hockey League players. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. Ryan House amongst numerous other, Brian Cameron, just organizationally in the last 5 years we've seen these guys.
And you know, I said I don't, there should be no kid at 18 that goes back. That was a silly thing to say, of course. Connor McDavid, if he had to go back, good on the text line. Darnell Nurse probably would have been better in the AHL. You know what? Yeah, if you're physically dominant, which I don't think Shillington is, but certainly Darnell Nurse is huge and all that. He probably should get used to banging and crashing with some bigger pros. Either way, the good news is he's coming to North America, and we're going to get
a good eye on him, right?
We're going to have a chance to see him or know what he's all about. And maybe this is, like I say, maybe it's much ado about nothing.
Two good options, really, right?
Yeah.
If you have to go to a place in the Western League, that's a team that looks locked and loaded to make a long run. He's going to play in big situations. This isn't going to be, you know, a 30-win team with bad culture around it and guys moping around. This is a team that's hell-bent on a championship this year.
Yeah.
And they also might be losing their top defenseman, depending on how Provorov does in Carolina. So
McCrimmon's on the phone with Hextall. In between calls with Brad Treliving, he's calling Ronnie Hextall. Yeah, you don't. Provorov is just, it's too quick.
Philly, right, yeah.
It's too quick. It's too
much too soon.
Too much for Provorov. Yeah. He really needs to go. Hey, oh, sorry, I got Treliving on line two. Hey, Brad, you know what? The AHL, really? That's too big a job.
And Provorov, there's another guy. Perfect example for AHL probably would be best, but
we don't know.
I just think,
right?
If you dominate, it's time to move up a level, and that you're never stopped from moving up a level in hockey, except in that one awkward 19-year-old year where you have to go back to the CHL.
22 after 7, we'll come back talking about free agency. It's been real quiet, kind of like we saw last year, real quiet. Who's going to be the next one to fall? I guess what, Alexander Semin? Was he the most recent bigger name UFA that got plucked off the wire?
1.1? What a steal.
You take what you can get. Oof. May not be a steal.
Well,
still might be overpaid at 1-1.
If it's a problem, you bury him in the A.
Yeah.
It's almost a zero risk. Remember when they signed Devin Setoguchi last year, the Calgary Flames? You're like, what's the worst case scenario? He sucks and you send him to Adirondack.
Yeah.
It happened. Did it ruin the season for the Flames? Absolutely not.
So who, beyond that, beyond the remaining UFAs and that, who's out there and is thinking, I didn't expect that this would be the end for me, but it just might be. Who's possibly played their last game in the NHL? Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Dark clouds are blowing in the wind. He's crossing your mind again. You've got that sad feeling from a broken heart, feeling so close to the end. Let me love you tonight. There's a million stars in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Let me love you tonight.
There's a million stars in the sky.
A million. It's a lot.
Even upwards of that.
It's a lot, man. This weekend, all next week, and the week after, it is Hockey Canada, the national team's summer showcase event being held at Winsport. It's basically the start of the road to the World Juniors. We had Ryan Jankowski in yesterday. He was saying this is the start of the next hockey season. Doesn't really feel like it, but in many ways it is, at least for these elite players, because now they've got this camp, and then it's rookie camp, and all of that. Is we're already heading into August, if you can believe it.
Yeah, and if you're one of these kids, like, you're gearing everything to build towards this camp. It isn't like development camp where you've got a routine, you break it, you go to camp, you get back into your build towards. Like, all these kids, they're gearing up for this early August camp. It's their first chance to impress for the World Junior team.
So what does that mean? It means the best our country has to offer in each age group. The men's under 17, men's under 18, and the U-20s are going to be on the ice this week. The U-20s, that's your World Junior team. Mitch Marner, basically you name it, as far as kids that were taken this past year outside of Connor McDavid. They're going to be on the ice and taking part in four games.
I think Connor should play.
You do,
I think he should go.
Yeah, this is real.
Oiler fans, react to me, 960.
Well, maybe they'll, what is it, 9 games? Maybe he only gets 7 or 8 and they send him down.
Or they could just, Dresido the whole thing and let him play 30 and then send him back to junior.
That'd be great. They're going to play Russia twice. They're going to play the Czechs twice. So it's not just inter-squads or practices. They're actually going to play some games with something on the line. The 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th. Games each of those days. You can get your tickets at hockeycanada.ca. Something to that effect.
That is correct.
But I would suggest stop by. If you can't make all four, then check out one, because you're going to look back, and I have a feeling a lot of the players that are going to be here, it's like, oh, yeah, remember that in early August we went and watched so-and-so and so-and-so? they're going to be NHLers sooner than you think. So that's going on this week.
A couple Flames prospects as well, which would be very cool.
Mason McDonald, the goaltender, and Brandon Hickey, the defenseman, which looking forward to watching him playing in the NCAA, a little bit removed. We'll see what he's all about.
Yeah, had a great, great freshman season with BU. I think the responsibility, the minutes probably exceeded everyone's expectations, including the people that recruited him there. And maybe, who knows, even him himself. Great year.
Free agency in the National Hockey League. We, on Canada Day, come to work and we talk about free agents. And as it has been the last couple of years, there's the courting period that leads up to it. So a lot of signings are done on the first, and then it gets pretty quiet. It kind of trickled into the second and third this year. But that was about it. Last week, I think it was, the Montreal Canadiens signed Alexander Semin to a one-year deal worth $1.1 million. He was kind of one of those, I guess if you want to call it, one of the bigger names, if that's even fair.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That was out there. More probably in terms of potential than anything else. But so the question is now, who's left and why are they left? That's the other thing, too. How much of this has to do with teams having basically spent to the cap and they're not comfortable going any closer? And I can't help but wonder if that's what the Cody Franzen scenario is. If maybe he priced himself out of the market a little bit.
And then the money's gone.
Teams spent their dough and they're like, well, we don't have room for that type of a contract anymore. Anyway, the others, and I guess we can talk about that, and we have talked about that. If you could pick one right now, Eric Fair, he signed 2 days ago with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So if you could pick one guy, is it Franzen? Is he kind of the last
big name? A guy that could come and impact your roster significantly?
Christian Ehrhoff is still out there.
And he's had some rougher years of late. That big money deal in Buffalo that seemed to be okay. From this point forward, he was never the same.
Yeah.
And whether that was the money or it was just the age, but he's not that old.
Yuri Tolusti is one that's probably not bad. For the Jets last year, made just under three. He's a centerman, played not well or not bad for them. He might be the guy, but outside of that, there's going to be a few guys here that are looking in the mirror and wondering, am I done? Either am I going to have to accept a tryout or will I even get one?
Or is it time to just shut her down if I'm in tryout territory? Is that not, am I now, is this the writing on the wall?
Like there's a few we know they're retiring. You knew Marty St. Louis was tiring. You knew Teeminen in Chicago was done.
Yeah.
Sergei Gonchar, I think he's done. He's 41 years of age.
Jeez. Yeah.
Makes
sense. Go play in Russia for a year, make some dough, settle down.
Is Eric Brewer finished?
Could be. He sort of does not reek of the new age defenseman, does he?
No.
Lumbering, bigger, more physical. That doesn't play like it used to.
I wonder if there was some talk. I forget which paper it was. It might have been in Denver or in Minnesota, obviously, where Jordan Leopold was saying, if that's the end of the road for me, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, Leopold's another guy I'd written down that it could be done for. Scott Hannon.
I think for sure he's done.
Jan Hayda?
I don't know about Hayda. I kind of feel like he's still kind of serviceable as a...
Five, six, seven.
Brian Allen, he had a hard time hanging on. Up front is probably where it's more interesting. Steven Weiss signed that big deal with Detroit and then got bought out right after. He was making just under $5 million. I don't know what Kenny Holland was thinking. You make.
There's not many times you've said that, but that certainly was one.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Bought him out. I don't between level of play. I mean, he is a centerman, but between level of play and just where he's at, he's 32. I don't know who's going to go knocking on his door. But the bigger names, the one that kind of stands out is that it for Mike Richards.
Yeah, I think it is.
He's got legal issues.
He's got foot speed issues, and he's got conditioning issues. Three strikes, you're out.
Yeah. So I can't help but wonder if this guy is done. How old is he again? Like
Richards.
Crazy to think.
Yeah, he hasn't aged well. I had it in front of me. No, it's not. Not at the goal.
Mike Richards. Somebody will know. They'll be texting it. He's 30.
Yeah, which is turned 30. Feels dirty saying that, but he feels more like a 35-year-old. He was in the league at 18, wasn't he?
And that's crazy to think that a few years ago, winning a gold medal for Canada, lifting a cup, that at the age of 30, you'd be saying, yeah, Mike Richards probably done. Now, maybe he does get some work, but where it sits right now, something's going to have to change because I think the Kings did everything they could to try and play him, and it didn't work out. Jarrett Stoll is another LA King that I wonder has if he's maybe seen his best days. I know, well, he's certainly seen his best days go. He's 33. He, too, has some legal issues, but I don't think they're quite as serious from the sounds of it as what Richards is facing.
Well, they're both not good situations to be in. One is, what, Oxycontin across the border, and the other is party drugs at a pool in Vegas?
Yeah.
Neither of those things help you get a deal when you're on the back nine.
No.
Stoll's a better player. So if someone's going to roll the dice, it's going to be for someone that can help their hockey team. I think he could still play third or fourth line center minutes, and he's been great in that role in Los Angeles.
Is Olli Jokinen done?
Had his name written down. Your boy Swoopy.
Old Swoop.
Say it ain't so.
He just got dealt for at the deadline.
What, he's got 11 teams, 9 teams, 9? Islanders, Kings,
oh, just
Panthers,
it takes too long.
Flames, Jets.
Did you get Coyotes?
Blues, Coyotes. That's 7. We're missing a few.
Jets, Blues.
Yeah, got them.
Flames, twice. Does that count as 2
no,
or just 1?
No, just 1.
Say what you will about Swoop. He's a centerman that seems to continue to find work. Is that it? Are you pulling the plug on Swoop?
It's 36, man. It's time for Swoop to swoop on over to the other continent.
He can still grow his hair, though.
Oh, can he ever?
For a man that... I don't know if I'd be playing that music. Old Swoop.
Do we have a Cool in the Gang celebration?
I don't want to celebrate it either.
Well, his hair we were talking about. We can celebrate
some
that.
More name. Oh, Swoop. Say it ain't so, Swoop.
I never won a playoff series. Holy. He played in Toronto.
What were his career winnings?
Nashville.
Or earnings, I mean.
Wow.
Tens of millions of dollars that dude made.
Let's pull it up. See what the career earnings are.
Same cups, same number of cups as me. All Swoop. We've been hard on Swoop, but you know what?
Yeah, we have, but you know what? When a guy makes, I don't know, 30, 40 million bucks in his career, are we allowed to be hard on him? Probably.
Yeah, I suppose.
We
take runs at everybody else. Why wouldn't we take runs at him?
That's right.
But I wonder if old Swoopy's done. Some other names we'll continue on. If you've got questions, fan feedback line, 960-960. By all means, fire it through. A lot of people asking about Curtis Glenn Cross. We'll talk about Glenn Cross.
Wow.
Could it be? Cowboy Sportsnet Curtis. 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Digging a little deep, are we, J-Boy? This is it? Have I put you in scramble mode? Pure Prairie League, the artist of the day.
It's a bit of a deep cut, apparently, because this is the best I could find.
The first two hits, Amy and Let Me Love You Tonight. Let Me Love You Tonight, big song. I don't want to have to great white this thing. I don't want to have to once bitten, twice shy this thing, do I?
Tony Hatch this thing? Jason Cars. Monkey Bars.
Yeah.
A couple guys have mentioned on the text line. This reeks of 80s sitcom intro music where they're like showing the characters and they're playing in the park and oh, they're having dinner at the table. She spilled her Cheerios. Big hug at the end. Start scene. Go.
Coming up on Let the Good Times Roll.
Exactly.
Yeah. This text coming in. This sucks.
Sort of my feel about it.
Somebody earlier saying, interesting that the guy who can't grow grass likes bluegrass. Well, I suppose.
Dion
Warwick.
The yard, yeah.
Yeah. Continuing our conversation about players who have maybe played their last games in the NHL, free agents, I'm sure a lot of them would say, hey, if I could get a, you know, give me a deal, I'd be happy to play. This one, we talked about Mike Richards. It seems like it's maybe a bit of a long shot. Jarrett Stoll. You know what? Eric Cole is a guy who scored a lot of goals in the National Hockey League, but you feel like the game's left him behind. I like, you know, he was one of my favorite players for a long time. I'd get him in my draft, and he'd just tear it up.
His hot, first get you 30.
His first time through in Carolina, real strong.
Probably won a cup there in 06.
You sure did. Yeah. Olli Jokinen, we've discussed. We can move on. Danny Heatley. Is the Danny Heatley era over? Is Heater done?
How many teams did he get moved to last year?
Well, he was with the Wild. We know that. He was with the Anaheim Ducks. Ended up playing, well, last year he played 6 games. San Jose. As we know.
Dry ribs, pizza bagels, one tea clapper, chocolate shakes, and armfuls of chicken nuggets.
Armfuls.
It's a lot.
Atlanta Thrashers. Traded for Marian Hossa, plays in Ottawa for a period of time. That doesn't end well.
Sure didn't.
Despite scoring 100 goals over 2 seasons.
Do you think he'd want to go to Edmonton now? Do you think he changed his mind on playing in Edmonton?
San Jose for 2 years. I barely remember the 2 years. I mean, I guess I kind of do, and if you really want to press it. 3 years as a Minnesota Wild. That seems like that's a long time. Then 2014-15, signs as a free agent with the Ducks, promptly plays 6 games, no points, goes to Norfolk.
American League. America.
7 points in 25 games, then off to San Antonio with the Rampage, 13 points in 18 games.
Riverwalk's gorgeous there.
So not a dominant player at the AHL level.
See ya.
Is that right?
Well, hey, I wish him well, but if you can't produce at the American Hockey League level offensively, what, is he going to be a defensive forward in the NHL?
2013-14. That was last season, right? Not this past one, but the year before. The 2013
two seasons ago, yeah.
The 2013-14 season, he had 12 goals.
I used to pump 50 a year, though.
I know.
50 and 07.
But if there was somebody in Calgary who scored 10 or more, we're like, oh, well, that's kind of an important part of the team. Lance Boma scored 16, and we're doing backflips.
Yeah, well, he's in his mid-20s. It was a breakout year. It's not like a 50-goal guy shriveling up. That's different.
Heater's 34. Poor Heater. I think it's done.
Yeah.
I think it's over for Danny Heatley. Luckily, I think he's probably made enough money to make ends meet.
He's made enough. I hope he's saved enough. It's more important.
Martin Havlat, done?
Was he a Shark last year?
Devil.
Oh, that's right. Boy, they're collecting old men in New Jersey. Someone on the text line was like, you know who might be done? That whole Devils roster,
the whole team,
should retire.
Marty Havlat, also 34.
Steve Bernier would be one of those guys, I believe. Michael Ryder, see you later.
He has played.
Dinas Zubris just got put on waivers for the purpose of a buyout. That probably ends his career. The Devils were so old last year.
So old. Over the last 4 seasons, here's the games played for Havlat. 39, 40, 48, 40.
Well.
So not entirely durable. It's never been his, you look over the course of time, he never played a full season. Had 81 games with Chicago. That year he scored 29, had a big year. Went to Minnesota, and things went downhill from there.
Yeah, I think it's here that might be it. I mean, it's funny because you look at the numbers at the end of the career, it's like, wow. But I think the lasting feeling was probably could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
And that's weird to say about someone that scored 50 and was a perennial all-star. And that said, you know what? He went through some chaos early in his life that probably doesn't leave anyone the same. Who knows?
What about Danny Cleary?
Danny Cleary. That horrible contract's finally over.
What was it last? Well, because he was out, free of that one a while, and then he was going to sign with Philadelphia, and then remember his heart wouldn't let him.
Detroit came over.
Had to come back to Detroit.
Yeah.
I think he'd probably go to Philly now, because I'm not sure how many people are knocking that door.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about Brendan Morrow. Looked like that was his last chance with Tampa Bay last year. I can't imagine that he would come back.
Yeah. Manny Malhotra, face-off guy?
Maybe. Saw something on Twitter the other night that there was perhaps an appetite for Matt Cook back in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Which, again...
You're just asking for it.
If you don't like Pittsburgh, there's more fuel to it.
Seriously. Everyone in Philly is like, yes, do that.
So, I don't know that there's any Hall of Famers in there. Sergei Gonchar, Hall of Famer?
Pull up his numbers.
Is he
a 500 point guy?
I'm going to do that.
His career?
He's a defenseman.
He's got to have it.
He played a long time. I know that. Was in.
Like 1,400 games, maybe? 1,200?
Played for a long time with the Washington Capitals. He played 1,300 games.
And what? So 800 points, I'm guessing? 700 points?
811.
Wow. Whew. That flirts with it. If he's Joe Smith from Melfort, Saskatchewan, he's probably in.
Played 1,301 regular season games, another 141 in the playoffs.
Cups?
Won it in Pittsburgh.
And Dallas as well, or was that someone else I've confused?
That's Zubov.
Always confuse those two.
No, won the cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Hmm. How about one for Oilers fans?
Had 90 points in 141 playoff games as a D-man.
Pretty slick. Oilers went to the reclamation yard and picked up a guy last year who was not being used at all or was immensely ineffective or both in Nashville. Derek Roy came in and something between him and Nail Yakupov really worked. They also changed coaches around the same time, similar time frame. But Roy was very good for the Oilers, and Oilers fans would tell you that got Yakupov going. Is he done?
Well, I'll say this. Roy, he's our boy. If he can't do it, no one will.
Roy. Is it Wah or Roy?
It's Roy.
Okay.
I don't know. The thing with him as well is foot speed, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then you look at who's been signed as far as UFAs, and how many guys are on there. You know what? Here's your this is your show me contract.
Prove it.
We talked a little bit about it yesterday with Sven Berchi. It's kind of a show me deal. 1 year, $900,000.
Well, it's an RFA thing, too. I mean,
right.
You're at a venture level. This is you are not an impact NHLer yet, but we want to keep you, so this is what it costs. I think the show me is a UFA guy where the interest isn't anywhere where he hoped it would be, and now you're taking a 1 year deal to try to build your value back up. I think at Chris Stewart, that's a classic example of the prove it contract.
Yeah.
1 year deal, 1.7 with
Semin. Alexander Semin is a show-me deal.
Absolutely.
You can even go Cody Hodson. That's a show-me deal in Nashville.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Absolutely it is.
That's a... Is there anything? Is there something that people are missing, or are you just a mess?
Foot speed.
Who else here would fall into that category? Well, Emerson Edom got traded. He's still young enough. I don't think he's in
just
that.
Just at entry level.
He's probably not in that category.
I don't think that's the same.
Your buddy McGrattan?
Well, bigger than that, I'm sure he's going to be in the HL. I don't see him cracking the HL.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you hate Big Earn?
He's a great man. He's been a positive force in a lot of humans' life. The game has changed. Perros does not play anymore. Paul Bissonnette does not play anymore. The guys that were enforcers for a living don't really have jobs anymore. There's not many of those guys left.
You know one guy that got the job that we couldn't believe? Remember John Scott signs in Arizona? It's like, is there another John Scott? Because that John Scott...
Hashtag grit.
Holy smokes. I guess that's if they're going to be bringing in their Max Domi's and younger players. Who's the kid they got from the New York Rangers? In the
Anthony Duclair.
Maybe you need some muscle.
The Rampart.
Need a little bit of muscle. Curtis Glencross has not been signed. I would guess.
Is the is not going as he had
I would.
Hoped.
Yeah, I would guess that this is a, there's some nervous times. I know we talked to Chris Russell about that. It's like, oh, how's your boy? How's he doing? Oh, he's fine. He doesn't get too doesn't get too wound up. But I would think the last calendar year, 2 years, because remember 2 years ago he got seriously injured with the what was it, the knee injury, missed the bulk of the season. Last year, this is going to be the year that contract year, get it done, didn't get it done. And then free agency, it's the year where general managers kind of keep their wallet close to the, you know, close to them without spending a bunch of dumb money. And Glenn Cross is on the outside looking in. Yeah, 2 years ago, played 38 games. 40 the year before, but that's lockout, right? Was that 12, 13? Anyway, 38 games with a knee injury in 13, 14, and then between the two Caps and Flames last year, 13 goals, 35 points. Not the year he wanted.
And how many playoff games did he get into?
As a Flame?
No, as a Washington Capital last spring.
It says here 10.
And that would be 10 of what, 14? Because they lost in Game 7 after winning a Game 7 against the Islanders.
Yeah.
They lose to the Rangers. So four healthy scratches out of 14 playoff games. I mean, he played more than he didn't play, but this was a guy that 2 years ago you would have thought would have been a force in 10 of 14 games, not just, you know, dressed for 10 of 14 games.
This one on the fan feedback line, Curtis Glencross, from almost captain to no contract in 2 years. Crazy.
Was he almost captain?
Well, he was.
There was a conversation. I don't know if it was real, but it was a conversation.
There were two guys that you would consider, and it ended up being Mark Giordano.
Yeah, I think people that know both these guys, I mean, it's not a knock on Curtis so much as it's heaping praise on Giordano. There are certain people you look at and say, we will all follow him. And I'm not saying Curtis isn't one of those guys, but I'm saying Mark Giordano is exactly that. There was no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to... Maybe at the time, it was more of a, well, yeah, either one would be good. Or you look back now, and it's like, well, how was there a discussion? How he should have had it when Iggy was still here. That kind of a thing, you know, right?
There is a lot of that. There's a lot of those stories that come out of the woodwork, you know, 2-3 years after Iggy's departure, how, you know, there was things that happened that wouldn't have happened on Gio's watch that certainly happened under Iggy's watch.
Man, is Glencross in will invite you to camp territory?
No, he's not. He's going to get a deal. The right fit. He'll get a deal. And the thing is it's not, he's not going to get a good deal. He's going to get tiny money on 1 year, like somewhere between Semin and Stewart, right? 1.5. Maybe
1.75
if he finds a real good fit and someone wants him a lot. And the one guy we haven't talked about who is absolutely impactful and can really help a team and maybe be the difference between ninth place and getting into the playoffs or home ice versus starting on the road, like Cody Franzen's a really good player. He's not an all-star, but he's a very solid player, and he's still out there. The latest rumor on him, the Bruins yesterday were part of an announcement made about the Winter Classic as Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots play. They're going to host the Winter Classic January 1st game against Montreal. Great rivalry. And they were asking the GM, obviously our boy there that used to play, Sweeney, and said, we're talking to Franzen. I don't want to say how close you are because you never know what other teams' offers are, but yeah, there's dialogue there. And that would make sense for a Bruins club that lost a, what, 22 to 25-minute defenseman in Dougie Hamilton this offseason. Wouldn't be a bad fit. Wonder what the money comes out as.
I'm kind of surprised too, man. I thought somebody, and maybe he's sticking to his guns, says
he's whatever, got more leverage than Glencross.
Well, for sure, yeah. But the Glennie one is interesting. When you think of the players who have signed, when John Scott signs, when Big Earn gets a deal, when all the other kind of fringy type of players get deals before Glencross, either he's still holding tight for a longer term big money deal, or his value has dropped.
Boston's got cap space too after all these moves they've made.
Could be both, but nonetheless.
If I'm Edmonton, I'd go after him. If I'm Boston, absolutely I go after them. Any other team that says, you know, if we're one injury away from having an ugly blue line, that is, you have to make the call, especially at this point, because who knows where the price is at.
Somebody here asking about Rhett Warner. Is he done? He has not filed his papers.
And I believe he's slated to be back, what, late September, early October?
And I'll say this. I know he's been working out diligently this summer.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Working out.
Yeah. He's been sticking to his Fit for 15 pledge.
I 2014 was go blank yourself. That was the motto.
It wasn't that good. I've talked to him.
Get effed.
Yeah, that's
we know. What do we know? We know that he misses the game, that he misses playing.
Pressure and expectations. It's different.
Yeah. It's not an easy league.
I don't think that. I know it's not an easy. I played in it actually once a couple of years. Thanks for confirming that for me.
It's not an easy league. It's a fast game. But Rhett, working out, hasn't retired, and you know he misses it dearly.
Hall of Fame career over here.
Remember Jason Weimer just had his retirement party.
That's right.
Many years.
Rhett's never done that.
His last game. Rhett's still
in his 30s.
Absolutely.
People are really all over me that I've not brought up the photo shoot. Stay right there. Pinder has something to share with the class, and he'll do it when we come back. We'll also, our CFL insider, Rash Badani, what you want to come in about? Big 8 o'clock hour coming. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.